Welcome into the Snapped Podcast. My name is Tyler Kluver, and I am a former Division I athlete turned entrepreneur. I run my own fitness and nutrition coaching business, as well as a sports media brand that produces podcasts, sells merchandise, and creates exclusive paid content. The fun part is I don't really know what I'm doing as a business owner. I'm just figuring it out day by day. This show, Snapped, acts as an audio journal for my thoughts and ideas on fitness, health, business, mindset, and whatever else I find important on the pursuit to personal happiness and a balanced life. I hope you can take something from the show that makes your life a little bit better. And regardless, I'm just happy you're here. Let's have a day. Let's go. And welcome into the show, everybody. It's a Snap Podcast. We are sitting in the office that is soon to be turning into a legitimate podcast studio. And it is not because I'm going to be rearranging what I have around me here, this beautiful sign. Maybe we'll figure out the lighting on this washed up walk-on sign behind me, this storage cube over my left shoulder. It's because we'll be moving spaces. The Kluver family, me, myself, my wife, and my 16-month-old daughter will be moving houses soon. Claps for me. We bought a house. In this market, I know. You're calling me a dumbass already. Dude, what are you doing? 7% rates? It is what it is. We missed out. We missed out on the COVID times. This is not where the podcast was originally going to go. We'll get to a few things in a second, but maybe we'll talk about this for a second, because in the intro, I do say that this is a business and mindset and entrepreneurial podcast. And so as a young adult, let's talk about the home buying process for a second. My wife and I have been looking for houses for a little over a year. However, if I would have known how much a rate, and I know this sounds absolutely dense, just completely dull to someone who knows how this works. It sounds that way to me now that I know how things work. But if you guys don't understand it, let's do a very, very brief, superficial, scrape the surface thing here with the home buying process and how a mortgage rate can affect your monthly price, monthly payment, the amortization chart of your mortgage and your principal and interest over the course of a 30-year mortgage. We dial back the clock. If you're at all in the know of what happened with the country and how we had a very quick crash of the stock market. It bounced pretty good, pretty quickly. But the economy, the infrastructure of our society, we had some fluctuation around the pandemic stuff, right? And part of that was the housing market. So what happened was, and I don't know, I can't confirm this, but this is just my guess. We'll get to the important part in a second. But what happened was COVID hit. So that's tough times on everybody, right? Tons of people getting laid off, the economy dipping a lot. I'm pretty sure the government goes, okay, well, we need to do something to stimulate the economy. We have to manually sort of integrate some things so that our economy can bump up a little bit so that people are spending money. Because obviously that's a good thing for the government, who's a bunch of crooks anyway. So in addition to stuff like those stimulus checks that we all got, thanks a lot, they do stuff like lower rates. With lower rates comes more interest in potentially purchasing a new home. Why would that be? Well, let's compare it to what the rates are now. The rates have risen from 3-4 years ago in 2020, 2019-2020, from around 2.5%, 2.75%, 3%, let's call it, to 7%. They've more than doubled. What does that do for the price of a home? Or I guess it's not so much the price of the home, but it's what your monthly payment ends up being. It does do stuff for the price of homes as well. When the rates are lower, housing, the general housing, relative housing prices go up, right? So the same house in a 7% market is going to probably, you know, the market's probably going to calm down a little bit on that. Let's call it a $400,000 home versus a, you know, back in COVID times, because it's a give and pull here. There's a peak and valley, the cause and effect, because those rates are now so low and the rates are what's affecting your monthly payment. The housing price jumps up a little bit because there's way more demand. So the supply has to recorrect so that they can get the most out of their money, right? Whatever. So a $400,000 house at a 2 or 3% rate, you're going to be paying, I don't know, somewhere between $1,500 and $2,000 a month. At a 6 to 7% rate, you're going to be paying, and obviously the property taxes and your insurance factor into this as well, and those aren't affected by the mortgage rate, but you're going to be upwards of a total payment of 27, 28, potentially upwards of 3,000. I mean, we're talking about almost double. You know, the rate doubles, so does the payment, essentially. On the same priced home, I was completely unaware of this. So I'm going to turn 30 years old this year. And, you know, so we've been in this townhouse for 7-8 years now. Obviously, on the back of our mind this entire time that we've been here is like, eventually we're going to move into a home. And it was probably about 4 years ago when I started to, or maybe I was just, again, naive to it. And I thought, you know, we would generally, the wife would look at Zillow, a home would come across and be like, oh, that would be a cool house to live in, or this would be cool to have in our future house. And you look at the estimates on a monthly payment on these houses that are within our price or within our monthly payment range, within our monthly budget. And then all of a sudden you kind of like don't pay attention for a while. The rates start to climb back up. I think the rates got as high as 8% last summer. And you start to see that same monthly budget on homes that are $100, $150, $200,000 less in purchase price. Do you know, and granted, sure, yeah, some of that is market correction, a little bit, inflation, whatever, the appreciation of home value. But dude, legitimately, if we, based on our situation, anybody's situation, basically, if it was 2020 and I had a we were somehow able to get a 2.5 or a 2.75% rate on a home instead of the high six rate that we're most likely going to get on this new purchase that we just made, we would quite literally be able to buy a house that has the price tag value of about $200,000 more. And over the course of your 30-year mortgage, you're with a 2.5 rate or a 3% rate, you're going to pay, I'm pretty sure, way less money than we're going to end up paying on the $200,000 less price and the 7% rate. It's, at that point, extremely infuriating post the rates going way up now and us purchasing in the current market, because you start to look at, you know, oh, we'd love to have this. We're right on the edge. Here's our budget. Oh, we really can't max out more than this. And it's like, man, if the goddamn rates were just, give us a percent, give us 2%. I'm not even asking for 3%. Give me 5%. And we'd be able to get everything we want. And I know it's like that, it's like, it's greedy, right? It's a first world problem. There's a lot of people who don't even have a fucking home, or there's people who are not, they're not nearly in the same financial position, but it's like, hey, it is what it is. If I would have just been smarter, if I would have been more in the know and understood and researched how housing worked a little bit better, I would have said, hey, we're getting out of this place. We are buying a house right now in 2020, 2021, because these rates are they're too good to pass up. And I knew nothing about it. You know how much more you can get for $200,000 in a home? I mean, we'd be living in a goddamn palace. So there's my 10-minute rant on that. Welcome to fucking Home Finances 101. Anyway, we bought a house. Daddy's going to have an office. Daddy's going to have his own office. And we're pretty excited about that. It's in the basement, which is finished. Not all these houses have finished basements, at least the ones that we have to look at with the 7% rate. it's a perfect little basement that's finished. It's got a guest bedroom in it, and on the other side of the basement is literally a ready-made office that is the perfect size. I will be able to deck this thing out and completely personalize it. It will be my space. It will not be a shared, like, I know you guys have no idea where I'm sitting, or especially if you don't watch the podcast, but I'm quite literally in the entryway, sort of like half storage room of the house. You come in from the garage right over here in the corner, and there's like, you know, there's a little bit of carpet room down here that you could put something. I think technically, like, some people might use it as a bedroom. Some people use this closet behind me as their laundry. I'm not sure what goes down here in these townhouses. But for us, it's the inversion table, and it's the Echo bike, and it's some storage behind me, and then my office setup. And I'm cramped in here. And between, we also got a sick, like, playroom, indoor kind of workout room. So between all this new space that we have, which we're going to be absolutely dead broke for. So sign up for the Wash Up Walk-Ons Patreon to help pay my fucking mortgage if you can. Thanks. The Echo bike will now be in the third stall of the 3-car garage instead of the 2-car garage that we have. Daddy's going to have his own home gym that I don't have to back the car out and then create every day. You can imagine how excited we are about that. Daddy's getting a home, and I know I'm saying daddy, and that may make some of you uncomfortable, and that's okay, but I am a daddy. And in this sense, I'm also calling myself daddy because it's derogatory and it gets people going. I'm going to have a home gym, third stall garage gym, where I can actually, like, get a squat rack. Dude, a squat rack? I don't have to squat on 2x4s that are in cement buckets, Home Depot buckets. Sick. I can throw the Echo bike out there. The inversion table and the Peloton that are now split between this weird space down here and our guest bedroom, they're going to go into their own dedicated, you know, basement workout room. The office is going to be, you think I'm not going to paint the office black, dude, and put sound panels in there and make it a real podcast studio? You're out of your goddamn mind. So we're moving up. The bank account's going to say zero, but we're moving up. Right? You got to spend money to make money, right? Leveling up, evolving like a Pokemon. This is a birth right here. This is a rebirth. I am Squirtle, and we're evolving into a War Turtle or a War Turtle. I don't think there's a U in there. I think it's an O. I am a Charmander. Oh God! Oh shit! What's Charm? I just forgot Charmander's second evolution. Charmander. Charmeleon? All right. I know none of you care. Charmander evolution. It's a Charmeleon, right? Yeah, Charmeleon. I'm not dumb. Charmander, Charmeleon, Charizard. I'm going to that second evolution, right? Bulbasaur? Ivysaur? No. Jesus Christ. Bulbasaur into Ivysaur, which then eventually goes into Venusaur. I am entering the second evolution, and I'm excited about that. I hope that, you know, and I've got a fucking, what is this? A $200 mic. So I already sound pretty good. Right. But you know, we get a few sound panels down here in the new office. We, you know, we make the background a little bit more conducive to, you know, something that looks good. Get some lighting figured out. The setup is going to be pretty darn good. So basically, we've talked about self-indulgence and me leveling up like a Pokemon and the home market and me buying a house. So that's fun. We're 15 minutes in, and this was really going to be like a 15-minute podcast about three or four totally different other things. I was going to talk about glycemic index, but not today. Let's just finish it out with where we are in life right now. My core is absolutely destroyed, and I'm going to give you a recommendation or maybe not a recommendation, depending on if you have back issues or not, for a movement. obviously, we're 2 weeks past the Open now. So last week was, I think, the first week out of the 3 week Open. There's about a month time, 3 to 4 weeks time in between quarterfinals. Quarterfinal workouts will start, or you'll be able to start entering your scores 2 weeks from today. My quarter weekend just got a whole lot more busy because I think I have an opportunity to go be a long snapping consultant for a FCS program over that weekend. Maybe we'll talk more about that. But the window to get scores in for that is like Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday. I think you legitimately have 6 days. And supposedly, with the information that's come out, there's only going to be four scored workouts. If there's going to be four workouts, there could potentially be, you know, five or six scores if some of them are two-parted. But with 6 days to do those, you know, the Friday, Saturday that I'm going to be completely gone in, you know, working with the long snapping, those will almost act as, you know, days where I can just fucking chill and rest. And then I can get a couple, get a score in Wednesday or get a couple in Thursday. You know, get one in Sunday maybe, and then get whatever I have left in on Monday. That's in a couple weeks. I'm going through a mock quarterfinals right now. So the programming that I'm on, they have written a mock quarters week where you're supposed to put a full effort into five workouts and make those the absolute 100% focus of your day. I am wrecked from one of those, which happens to have GHD sit-ups in it, which I don't ever do because one, they hurt my back. They don't hurt it, but they start to tighten it and aggravate it. If you're not sure what a GHD sit-up is, it is on the glute ham developer. You use it opposite of how it was designed. So the glute ham developer is meant to be your prone, and you're using it to do like back raises or glute ham raises, work on your hamstrings, work on your back. It's a great tool. CrossFit decided to, hey, fuck it, let's flip around and do sit-ups on this thing. And not sit-ups where, you know, normally you're lying on the ground, you lay all the way back onto the ground. No, because you're elevated on that pad, you're able to go past normal extension, and you throw your torso all the way back to the ground. Touch your hands. You bend yourself like a goddamn pretzel in half, and then you whip all the way back up and touch your feet. That's a GHD sit-up. Positives and negatives. One, you have to have some pretty good flexibility and be pretty comfortable in spinal extension to do this movement. Otherwise, you should not do it. Second precaution or negative to this is doing high reps. I'm talking like anything more than three sets of 10 to your average person on like your first try at this is going to leave your core absolutely destroyed, because it is as full range of motion for your core as you could possibly do. Now, that doubles as a positive, right? Which is where I'm recommending this. Maybe if you're feeling spicy, you're feeling loose, you're warm, you watch a video, you kind of make sure that you're not going into some range of motion that causes pain. Try these out, because the core development all the way from the very top, I mean, I'm talking the xiphoid process, I think, which is that little part right at the base of your pecs and the front of your rib cage, all the way at the top there under your tits, all the way down to like the your PUFA or your FUPA, you know, that part, right? But the part that's not shown, if you take your shirt off, it's just under your belt line, your waistline, but it's still, you know, above your parts, your bits down there. You are sore in that entire range of motion. I haven't found a ab specific movement that gets you like this. And that means that if you can do these correctly in the right volume, it is an intensity that will drive adaptation, a stimulus that will drive adaptation and progress and results. And you can build one hell of a core. So maybe go try out the GHD sit-up. That is, I did 150 of them, if anybody was wondering. So I'm dumb as shit. Anyway, that's today's podcast. Next week, I don't know. I don't have a thing. The week after that, we will preview. We'll be talking on the first day of quarterfinals. So we'll have the workouts by then, I think. Might have to wait till like noon that day, but we'll have the workouts. And I'll kind of preview that. The week after that, we will recap the quarterfinals. But next week, I have no idea what we're going to do. Maybe we'll talk about that glycemic index thing and some other things that have been on my mind. Regardless, I'm glad you joined me for these 22 minutes of just bullshitting. Go get your work in. You always feel better when you exercise. You're never mad that you went and put in work and got it done, and you feel good about that. And your body feels good, the endorphins, the sweat. It's always a good time when you're done. Your excuses are not valid. Go be a savage. Let's have a fucking day. I'll see you next week.